welcome Pastor Rob.
Hey, good morning. How are you? Going well? Great. I'm glad to hear it. Last Sunday, about lunchtime, Walter Berham went to be with the Lord. He passed peacefully. Wally had been in our church, I think, all his life. And he was a good man, a godly man, and a generous man. And he just hasn't been able to come to church probably the last 2 or 3 years because of ill health and then dementia. And tomorrow his funeral, I'm going to conduct the funeral, but it will be at Christian City Church in River Street starting at 10:30. So if you'd like to come, Victoria Street, down by the river. Okay. Victoria Street, yeah, Christian City Church, and you'd be most welcome to be there and to celebrate the life of Walter Berham. I want to share a message this morning that really is brewing in my heart, and it's part of our Vision Sunday, but I want to introduce it with these thoughts. Scripture says in the Old Testament that the men of Issachar knew what Israel ought to do because they could discern the times. Now, that doesn't mean they knew that what the date was and the time was on the clock. It means they knew what God was doing and they knew what Israel ought to do to flow with what God was doing. And so here we come to today, and I want to bring to you a thought. I want to call it Vision Sunday, and yet it's a little bit different to, say, our normal Vision Sundays. But it would be presumptuous of me to say, this is our vision and this is where our church is going, if I didn't know where God was going. Because I could say, let's go this way, and God's going that way. And that would be a bit of a problem for us then, because we're not going the same direction as God. So my heart is to try and share with you what God has put into my heart, what I'm discerning in the world, and to prepare you for the things that God is doing, so that you can also go with that, and grow with that, and let it be a part of your life and your strength. Do you understand me this morning? So, what does the coming year hold? What will it bring? My opinion is they've been deceived, that the powers of darkness have worked in their life, blinded their eyes, and created a deception so that they believe a lie. Now, of course, they would say, no, that's not true. They believe a truth. But I'm saying, I think they believe a lie because it's contrary to the Word of God. Anything contrary to the Word of God can't be truth. So that's there. But let's be clear. We love these people. They are welcome in our church. I'm not excluding anyone from this church. As long as they don't promote their particular lifestyle or doctrine, that's okay. We will love them. We will seek to help them. We will pray for them. We will care for them. And folks, that's the heart that we've got to have. So in a wider perspective, persecution is coming to Christianity. It's already, of course, in many countries. It's happening in the US and other nations. So really, just coming back to that thought about the gas being supplied by Israel and the Biden administration now not supporting it, so it won't happen. Think of the leverage that President Putin has. Now, he can switch the gas off anytime he pleases and make countries do what he wants. And people, you know, money talks. So people, when they lose their money because the gas is cut off, will be very quick to do what Russia wants. That's a nice thought, isn't it? So I've been seeking people who are in the realms of the prophetic. As I said to you, I want to do what God's doing. I want to go in God's direction. I want this church to go in God's direction. We're talking about vision. We've got to be with God. And the things that the prophets are saying is there's chaos, there's persecution, there's trouble coming. But what they do say is God is shaking the world. And so Jesus said that men's hearts would fail them for fear during these times, in the end times and the tribulations that might come on the church or upon the world. And we've got to be aware of that rather than being in fear and saying, how bad is this? This is so awful, and becoming frightened, that we lock into God and say, God, you got me. I'm safe because I'm with you. Yeah, I might go through some difficult times, but I will not fall apart because God is my strength. Jesus said that many would depart from the faith in the last days. The love of many will grow cold. Why? Because they just don't like the things that happen. But we shouldn't be people who just like God rather than love God. Like God because he blesses us. We should have a heart of loving God no matter what comes. Saying, God, we're with you. We're going to go forward with you. So let me bring you to the thought, what do we do as a church? Is everything bad news? I don't think it's bad news. I think it's uncomfortable news, but I don't think it's bad news because God's moving and God has a purpose and the days are closing fast and we need to keep with God and what he's doing. So is it just all about chaos? Is there no hope? Well, let's go to Genesis chapter 1 this morning, because it says in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. What happened? God spoke into the chaos. He said, let there be light, and there was light. And you know, as he continued to speak and the creation of the world and everything that went around about it and the creation of man, that all came throughout from the chaos. This is the day when we need to keep close to God and hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to the church. In the kingdom of God, the Holy Spirit has an agenda, and we have to work with that agenda, but we've also got to hear him personally. What's he want from us and what's he want us to do? In Revelation chapters 2 and 3, Jesus is speaking to the seven churches of Asia Minor. And he, at the end of every message to the church, he says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Guys, we got to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to us. We need to know what he's saying to the church, but we need to know what is the Holy Spirit saying to you personally. Because in times of struggle, in times of real trouble, if we don't have our eyes fixed in the right direction, we'll get carried away by a current and caught up in things. We'll get fearful and frightened instead of being able to say, God's in control. I may be in very difficult circumstance here, but God is still in control. Those are the things that we need to come close to God for. So at the end of each message, that's what Jesus said to the church. But each of the churches was a real church that in that time in Asia Minor. But each of the churches represents a church age from then until now. And the last two churches that he speaks about are Philadelphia and Laodicea. The church of Philadelphia, what all the other six churches he had a criticism for. He said, you know, you're this, this and this, you're doing well. However, this is where you're not doing well. But for Philadelphia, he had no criticism. Philadelphia means the church of brotherly love. But the church of Laodicea, he said, you are lukewarm and I spit you out of my mouth. That word spit in the Greek means to vomit. In other words, you're lukewarm and I vomit you out of my mouth. So my heart as the leader of a church is to not have lukewarm Christians because I don't want them vomited out of Jesus' mouth. In the times that are coming and the struggles and the difficulties, those who are lukewarm will be blown away. But those who are hot for God will stand in there. So my encouragement is get hot for God. Come to church. I think coming to church is an important thing. Why? Because we join together in worship, hear the word, pray, do all those things, and it builds something in our lives. And that's what we need. We need to have a life built on truth and on God. So we need to be a people who hear the Holy Spirit. You ever been lost? I mean, you just can't find your way. You don't know where you are. These days and age, we've got phones that tell us, give us maps. It's in the car. We can, GPS shows us everything. You know, it makes life easy. But back in the old days, you could get lost. I moved to Melbourne in the 1970s. I had a job down there. And Melbourne, has streets sort of run, you know, long, and they might run north, south, or east, west, or something like that. And in those days, I had nothing in the car to tell me which way I was going. And you'd be trying to work off a street map, and you didn't know. You'd be driving in the right road, but you didn't know whether you were going north or south. And you say, that's strange. Yeah, it was strange, but that's how it was. I didn't have anybody in the car to help me read the map as we went. And you could get lost. Now, today, if I get lost, Denise says, stop and ask somebody. But, you know, all I do is I just go faster. I think, well, if I'm lost, I'll get lost faster, and then I might get found and come out of that. Are there any men out there who... No. Women are great at asking for directions, aren't they? We men. And he says, you should stop and ask. You know, well, thankfully, the GPS really helps now. My wife is my little GPS, you know, when we get in the car, tells me where to go, how to drive, what to do, stop swearing and all those things. And I... Don't get lost. Let the GPS of the Holy Spirit keep you in the right place with the right bearings. And you know where you are and what you're doing. So we can have a faith in God for that. And that leads me to the second point of what should we do. In Luke 18 verses 1 to 8, and I'm going to read from the Amplified Bible this morning. Now Jesus was telling the disciples a parable to make the point that at all times they ought to pray and not give up and lose heart, saying, in a certain city there was a judge who did not fear God and had no respect for man. There was a desperate widow in that city, and she kept coming to him and saying, give me justice and legal protection from my adversary. For a time he would not, but later he said to himself, even though I do not fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow continues to bother me, I will give her justice and legal protection. Otherwise, by continually coming, she will be an intolerable annoyance and she will wear me out. Then the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not our just God defend and avenge his elect, his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he delay in providing justice on their behalf? I tell you that he will defend and avenge them quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find this kind of persistent faith on the earth? Notice the two things there. In verse 1, Jesus was telling the disciples a parable to make the point that at all times they ought to pray and not give up and not lose heart. And then in verse 8, he says, Will Jesus find this kind of persistent faith that the widow had? on the earth. Here's the key for Christianity in the last days: persistent faith. We have to be persistent faith. It comes by our relationship with God, by our time of prayer, obviously by the Word of God, all of that sort of thing, but that we hang in there and that faith arises in our heart so that we can really do what God calls us to do. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So we need the Word. We need the written Word. We need the Word that God speaks to us. We need the preached Word. We need to have that in our hearts, not only for our church, but individually, so that we can express persistent faith. If you don't have faith, you won't make it. If you don't have faith, the current will take you in any direction. If you don't have faith, you risk falling away from the truth. And I know that's heavy, and I'm not trying to be too heavy this morning, but I'm trying to bring you truth so that you can walk in it. So just as God spoke into the chaos of the world in Genesis 1:1, let there be light and so on, then we need to be able to speak into chaos as well. We need to be able to speak the truth of the word of the Lord. And we need to be persistent in our faith in expressing that word. And so we change atmospheres by what we say. Though there be a shaking of the worlds that God allows and God intends, we speak into it. What we hear him speak to us, so that we can do what God calls us to do. This is a day and age where we can't cruise. God is expecting people to be involved, to be active, to be faithful, to speak the words that they hear. And when we do, we see things happen by faith. The third thing is the realm of prayer. We need persistence and faith used in our prayer involvement. And I want to connect, I really want to see in our church more intercessory prayer, more prayer in connect groups, more prayer in our homes, more prayer in our personal lives. It's absolutely vital. If you want to get lost, take the phone off the hook that connects with God. Stop praying. But if you want to get found, get praying and get close. And I want to say, God has a great love for you. He invested everything of heaven for you. If Jesus had had one sinful thought, one sinful word, one sinful action, the Godhead would have been split forever. I don't know whether it would have survived, because God invested everything when he sent Jesus. And he did that because of his great, great love for you. The fourth thing is reaching people. In the days of chaos, in the days of trouble or persecution or anything that comes, people need to know about Jesus. And I believe we're going to see that. I believe we're going to see people, as things become more of a struggle, they're going to set their hearts on things that really matter. Not the material stuff in life, not all that you can have and own and enjoy. They want to know what the truth is about. They want to know where to plug their lives in and to hang in there. And that's where we can get involved. How? Well, I believe, and this is probably the vision part of today, by connection. We need to be people who connect. We have connect groups, and that's important. People join together in small groups. That's very important as a church. But we need to be connected as a church. And then we can need to connect other people in. There needs to be a connection happening. That's what we talk about, why connection is important, because people then have a sense of belonging to something more than themselves, and they can get a vision for something greater. And then on a growth level, we need to grow. As Christians, you've got to grow. You can't stay static where you started. You need, if people don't grow, what happens? Well, they get stunted. Children have to grow, but they also need to grow in their understandings and in their education. We need to grow in the Christian circles. And we're wanting to set things in order, perhaps in the church, to help you accomplish that. More about that in the coming weeks. We want to train people. We want to see involvement. And we want people to get going for God. Get up and get going. Not just, look, yes, for a time we sit on pews, but then from here we go and do something. with what we learn from God, what we receive in our hearts, that we go for God and we make things happen. So over to you as I conclude this morning. Let the worship team come. Let me just say, the day is late. We're in the end times. And what we do now for the kingdom is important. I hope you hear my heart in these things, folks. My prayer is that you will encounter God in a greater way. I pray every day for this church, and I pray, Lord, awaken the hearts of people to know you more, to realize a greater relationship with you. That's my desire. We are on this earth for a very brief time, very, very brief time. Then we go to be with the Lord for eternity. If we know him and we set our hearts upon him and we live for him, that is. And then throughout eternity, it's greater than we could ever imagine. And it's not just about heaven, because that's the holding place now for people who die, but we come back to this earth when it's been remade anew. We live in the presence of God, and there's just great and exciting things to happen with that as well. I want you there. I want you to get a crown in your life. I want the rewards of God to be yours. And I set my heart in prayer towards that. And may God bring it about. If you grab it and do it, I can't make it happen. You have to make it happen. So why don't you stand this morning? We have such a wonderful God. Really, really wonderful. We will never know how wonderful God is till we really experience him in all the fullness. But right now, we experience his life in us. We experience his presence. We experience his blessing. And we should rejoice in that. Thank God for it. And may we just determine we're going to grow. We're going to be the people that God has called us to be. We can serve him with faithfulness. And so, if I could say for Vision Sunday, let's be a church that knows God and goes for God. Amen. Let's sing together. Let's worship.
Let the king of my heart be the mountain where I run, the fountain I drink from, oh, he is my song. Let the king of my heart be the shelter where I hide, the ransom for my life, oh, he is my song. 'Cause you are good. You're good, oh, you are good, you're good, oh, you are good, you're good. Be the wind inside my sails, the air.
Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. What things do we need? We need the presence of God. For without that, what are we? We need the provision of God, and we need the protection of God. And so I'm encouraging you, seek first the kingdom of God. Put it first in your life. Make it a determined effort. Let me pray with you this morning, and I really would like, and it's up to you, but I would like to say, Lord, I surrender my heart to you. I surrender to you. Let your kingdom be first in my life. And you want to agree with me on that this morning while I'm praying? Let's do it. Father, Lord, I'm very conscious of the things that are happening in our world. They're not out of control because you're always got it in control. But you're stirring this world, Lord, for a purpose. To get people's eyes off all of the stuff that's in the world, whether it's media, social media, electronic products, seeking after wealth, seeking after prominence, position, whatever it might be. You're turning the eyes of people to things that really matter. And so we come to you this morning, Father. I'm praying that as I've shared, I guess, the vision of our church, that your hand of life and blessing might be there. And Lord, I stand before you this morning to surrender. I surrender my heart to you. I open my ear to hear what you're saying to me on a personal level and to this church. And I pray it for people here, that they might hear what the Spirit is saying to the church, in other words, to them, so that they might discern the directions that God is bringing. I thank you, Lord, this morning for your presence, for your protection, and your provision. We receive it from your hand. We receive it from your love. We set our hearts upon you in love, Almighty God, whom we worship from deep within us. Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. Hey, God bless you, folks. Thank you for being here this morning. Share some love and fellowship with people around about you, okay?